plan on flying? It's time to upgrade to a real ID. Because in order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID, or you'll need another acceptable form of identification. So don't wait. Find out how to get your real ID at tsa.gov/real ID. That's tsa.gov/real ID. Or visit your local DMV. And then you'll be cleared for takeoff.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Welcome to the law firm of Davis and Davis. We're not a real law firm.
Go ahead, grab a beer, a glass of wine, sit back and listen.
Tell when you've had a bad day, Scott.
I don't know why. I don't know why you would think.
Depression rock from KTEL.
You're just like an angel. All right. The timer's going. We got a little bit of creep going on here.
Now, am I still blowing out the audio when I talk?
No.
Oh, really? It goes away in my ears, but it's as long as it's not doing it on your end, that's fine.
No, it's not doing it on my end. And it does kind of do it on the recording, but that doesn't really bother me.
Cool.
So, I guess I should explain. I worked today. Work was a fabulous thing. I had fun at work today. I left 2 hours early because there was nobody there golfing in 100 degree heat, which excited me. And I was like, okay, life is good. Life is great. I get home. I'm all excited because I'm going to do a show. And we've got a special segment today.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, I get a phone call saying, hey, can you do something for me? So instead of the hour and a half that I have to prepare for the show, but I'm a creep. I'm a Yes, that is right. That is right. I spent an hour driving around in a car with no air conditioning and the heater stuck on.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at how wet I am. I've been in the house.
You're very moist.
I hate that word.
You and my wife both despise that word.
It's like the most disgusting word. I mean, just moist.
Boogers is okay. Moist is right out.
Moist is bad. Moist is just down. That's like, does it smell like fish? You know, it's just bad. It's bad, 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 bad. So yes, it was a long day. But Burke and I had a discussion. What was it, Friday? It was like Friday or Thursday, something. I said, man, you know, I got a couple of emails from people saying that they love the bourbon thing.
And I asked him, we have a couple of people listen to our show.
I was like, oh, how exciting. Adding on to my $1.35 a month.
And once again, we do honestly want to thank everyone for listening and sharing this stuff. Hopefully someday we'll make $2.29, and that would be awesome.
Okay, so Burke's the nice guy. I'm just going to sit here and say, bite my asshole, guys.
But you got people asking you for advice about vodka or about a whiskey and bourbon. That's awesome.
I guess I should go a little bit further into detail in this. Not only did we get an email about this, so I called Burke. I was like, hey, have you ever heard of this bourbon? If it's available in Ohio, let's do a show where we're both doing the same bourbon. And then we can have a real discussion about what the flavors are that we're feeling, you know, whether
how we feel about it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
blah, blah.
Whether it's a burner, you know, or does this go into our, hey, this is something that we would drink more often. I mean, if you go onto our website, you can read about every alcohol that we've drank so far.
And might need updated a little bit, but yeah, it's pretty darn close.
It's pretty darn close. And we tell you up front whether we'd buy it again, whether it was a good sipping bourbon, whether it was a good mixing bourbon. And it's not
or
just bourbon.
Gin or beer or whatever we were drinking that day.
Burke was doing rum last week. Which
sipping rum, who knew? Like, I'd never heard of such a you had because you've been to the islands and stuff.
Yeah. What was it? 2 weeks ago, I was doing the coconut water and vodka, which I'm going to tell you guys right now, that coconut water and vodka, if you guys ever see this stuff, go buy it, sit outside in the heat and drink it. Oh, is that the sipping rum?
Yes, Puerto Rico.
Made in Puerto Rico, which means
Puerto Rica.
San Juan. Julio.
Prepared by Edmundo B. Fernandez Incorporated.
In other words, it's Hispanic, Latino. Latino, would it be Latina or Latino? Latino is male. Latina is female.
It's Rondell Barilito. He's a guy. I would go with the masculine on that one, I guess.
But, well, you could go with the masculine on that, but did you enjoy drinking it?
Very much so. I mean, you'll notice.
You could go with the female version of it then. Jeez. Because there's very few women that you wish to drink.
No, but I went down on this bottle like
the other story that I had, I told our viewers, I told everyone that I got a job. I really haven't explained where I work. I mean, they know that
because we can't.
I will not explain what golf course it is, but the gentleman that hired me had his birthday, or has his birthday tomorrow. During my interview, we were having a discussion, and I found out that his father is big in the Dallas Bourbon Club. So he's a big fan of bourbon. The first thing out of my mouth was, have you tried Willet? And he's like, I haven't tried it yet. Isn't that the genie bottle? And I said, you and I will be friends because you know that is the genie bottle. So anyways, that was like a month ago. Up comes his birthday and I'm at work on Sunday. It was Monday. I'm at work on Monday, Memorial Day Monday. And the other assistant manager, he's like, hey Scott, you're into bourbon, right? I say, yeah, I'm into bourbon. He goes, well, I was having a question whether I bought a good bourbon or not. The guys at Specs said that it was a good bourbon, but I don't know. Could you come look at this? And I go walk it in there, and it's the 1 gallon version of the genie bottle.
That would be 1,000 milliliter, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean the thing was this big around. It was a foot across. I slowly turned, looked at him, and said, "You do realize that that bottle right there is the reason that I got hired." He's like, "What are you talking about?" I said, "The entire interview was about Willett. Was about how good,
how good it was."
How good it was. He was like, you're kidding. I'm like, no. And I'll tell you right now, you sip it. All of a sudden, you get that taste of vanilla in your mouth. There's no burn. It's freaking phenomenal. He's like, you're kidding. I said, no, it's great. I was like, you got a good purchase. You're fine. So he gives it to Jeff the next day. I see Jeff today. And I'm like, Jeff, I saw your bottle. I'm very upset that you have not shared any of it with me. He said, it's coming. He goes, you know what? I listened to your podcast. And you were right. The taste of vanilla is the first thing that you get. It doesn't really burn. It's super smooth going all the way down. I was like, dude, never mix that with anything. You will literally ruin the flavor if you mix it with anything.
Well, ginger, it's like that rum, I put a couple, almost like drops of Coke or Pepsi in it just to give it a touch of sweet. I wouldn't go any further than that with the sipping rum. It was just, I just needed a little extra sweet for that moment, and it was fine.
Well, when we were in Jamaica, they really kind of teach you that because rum has a lower alcohol content, it's more based for you to drink it on the rocks, basically. Drink it straight. Or it's meant to be mixed with fruits or cream items. What is the proof on that?
86.
That's high. Most of your rums will be between 40 proof and 80 proof.
Yeah.
The sipping rums are up higher in content. The regular everyday stuff is closer to 40. Like Captain Morgan's.
Depending on, but if you go to the grocery store, you get the 40 proof. If you go to the liquor store, you can get up to 80, but 80 usually is what it like Bacardi maxes out at 80 typically.
Well, Bacardi does do a white rum that is 151.
Well, that's just gross.
The 151 is there for one reason and one reason only, and that's
fireballs.
To light it in drinks. It is not meant to be drunk straight. It's not meant to be drunk on the rocks. It does not taste good. It tastes like alcohol.
Yeah, I've had 151 vodka before, and even with a ton of mixers, it's just nasty as hell.
I mean, back when we used to go to the Armadillo in Akron, the lemon drops that we would get would have 151 on top, but it was just on top to light it. As well, Gary Green always added Galliano to the lemon drops, which I think made it taste phenomenal. It was Gary Green. He wanted me so bad. I was just a little twink back then.
If you don't know what that is, please do not look it up. You don't want to know.
Just
there are drink. Some things you should never Google. That's just one of them.
That's a no-no, people. Don't look it up. If you do, you know, enjoy yourself.
maybe you'll have a revelation about your personality. I don't know. Go for it.
You might be into a twink. Who knows? And a twink has nothing to do with the Twinkie, okay? No. Well, it's
probably not. Probably not. There is a tiny little spider crawling up my BB-8. Well, that's no bueno.
It's no bueno?
No. My daughters hate spiders.
But
you hate spiders.
I love her. I really do.
What about me? What?
What about me? What are you saying, Dad?
Okay. So,
No. Hang on.
Whoa.
I'm trying to get some shit taken care of here, okay? Can you hold on for a second?
Do you want me to talk while you do stuff, or?
I just played Creep, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So Creep can go bye-bye.
Okay.
Now I can play something else totally.
I know you probably think about this all the time. We come together, we fall apart. We make some noise inside a room and call it art. Don't worry if it's a cold night, 'cause we all go up in flames.
Hey, did we talk about the drummer from Depeche Mode in our episodes last week?
No.
It's more your thing. I can't even remember his name. Forgive me. David something.
He just died last week. And
drummer or keyboardist? I got that
confused. Keyboardist.
Okay, so it was the drummer from Yes that passed away, and
Yes, White.
And Ray Liotta?
Ray Liotta died in his sleep from sleep apnea.
It was like the same day, all three people, but like they say, they come in threes. It literally came in threes that day.
White from Yes died the exact same day. And honestly, White and Bill Bruford used to pass back and forth with Yes. Yes was one of my favorite bands.
Oh yeah.
So I followed them. I went to concerts. My best friend in high school before I met you was Scott Tillman and Bob Cavanaugh. They were both my best friends. And Scott Tillman was a huge Yes fan. And that was a rough day for me. I was like,
yeah.
I just lost the keyboardist to Depeche Mode, which they were starting to make plans to do another tour. Yeah. And the drummer from Yes, now Yes did a cruise over this just about 2 months ago with Marillion. So it was Marillion and Yes on it was a prog rock like special cruise. It was I was literally gonna go, but I didn't have enough money. We're just getting to that age where we're seeing
all of our favorite people are gonna be
You know, it's
sadly, except for Keith, except for Keith Richards.
let's not even talk about Keith. How does that get? Did I ever tell you the story about
Keith? The Highlander. Every time a rock star dies, he gains more power.
Freaking Keith Richards. They were doing a concert, and I had a friend who was on tour with them, and he said literally what they would have to do is there would be a wheelchair for each one, and they would wheel them up to the ramp at the back of the stage so that the people out front could not see the wheelchairs. They would wheel them right up to the curtain and dump them off one at a time. Then they would go out there, they would jump around, they would do their show, they would come back, and each one of them would slump down into a wheelchair and be wheeled back to their bus. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I was like, is Bruce Springsteen's tour like that? I mean, he's got to be close to the same age. Is he back there with the pink pterodactyl walking trolley, whatever that thing is called? My mother has one, and it's got like two brakes. It's got a brake on each hand, and it's got a wheel. It's like a walker, but it has a place for you to sit and all this. I can just see Bruce Springsteen wheeling himself. Here we go. Do-de-do. Do-de-do. All right. So anyways, we've now spent 10 minutes.
BSing. Anything else you did this week?
36. 40. Ooh, we've spent almost 20 minutes on this.
Oh, my bad.
What did I do this? No, it was Memorial Day weekend. I actually worked extra days this week just for that, because people were giving up hours. I was like, oh, I'll take them.
Come on.
I'll take them. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come on. So I wasn't even, I got to tell you this. There's a guy who works in the pro shop, and his last name is Schnabel.
Schnabel.
Yeah.
That's a great name.
He calls me Scotty Too Hottie on the radio whenever I'm out doing my Marshall-y stuff, and all of a sudden you'll hear Scotty Too Hottie. And I think, oh God. So now
still a twink after all these years.
So now Sam is his first name. I don't call him by Sam anymore. He is now the Schnoz. And every time I say it, I do the... because he's got a real big nose. And when he does this, it touches his muscle.
Oh, so, God.
So I'll walk by like the pro shop door doing this. So anyways, the Schnoz listens to the show now. I gave him the link and everything, and I'm hoping the Schnoz is having a good time listening to this. How are you doing, Schnoz?
We love you, man.
So I was up in the pro shop talking to the Schnoz the other day, and we had this group from, they originally were from Nigeria and started a company here in the U.S. and now live here in the U.S. And they did a tournament for 2 days.
Okay.
So it was the second day of their tournament, and they're, you know, drinking heavily. One of the guys walks in, he's like, man, you have buy one, get one half off deal on shoes. I was like, yes. And he's like, oh, I think I could talk my friend into shoes. I was like, okay, that's fine. I'm not on the clock. It's Sam's job to sell shoes, but this guy came up to me because he saw me out on the course all day. I was marshalling. So I take him over to the shoe rack. He picks up a pair of shoes. He's like, oh, I like these shoes. They're white Adidas. I like these. I'm going to talk my friend into buying the same pair, and then I'll take discount. I don't care how let's make a deal. So we're going through and they're giving me their shoe sizes and all that, and he goes, oh, by the way, how much is this? I said, those are $200. He goes, oh, that's too expensive. I said, hang on, I have a pair right here that are $199. He says, oh, that's in my price range. Now, mind you, these guys have been drinking since like 11 o'clock in the morning, and it's 5:30 in the afternoon. So we're going through everything, and he gets his buddy to come over, and his buddy's not drunk yet. So his buddy's like, ooh, I found this pair of shoes. I really like these. I want to buy these. I was like, okay, you can do it. Those are only $125. So if we add both of those up, and he goes, no, don't add both up. Charge him $200. He won lottery.
Cheap bastard.
So be all end all. It was a good day. I sold $300 worth of shoes. Like, do I get commission on this now? Sam, are you schnoz? Are you taking me out for some brewskis?
Oh, shit. I don't think I did. I mean, we had our month close out, obviously, for work, but went to a party over at Bob and Mary's, people at the boat.
Oh, it was Mary's
birthday.
Did they televise that one?
No, God, no. I don't know why, man. It's like I ate decent food, but the alcohol just hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm like, and it's Memorial Day weekend. I was like, there's no freaking way I'm getting on the road. So I just crashed. That was hungover the next day too. I was like, man, that does not happen that often, but. Oh. C'est la vie. But it was nice, beautiful night, bonfire, pizza. Yeah, it's good stuff. Hey, is that a Prince song I hear?
Yeah. It's about as depressing as I can get right now, which excites me. All right, so I guess we should talk about what we have going on today. Today... it's a special occasion for y'all. Sorry. Burke and I are drinking
the same bourbon.
Basil Hayden's Toast.
And this one kind of cheats because it actually tells us supposedly what we should be tasting, like what the finish should be. And it's got its own metal belt on the bottle, which is kind of cool.
Yes. All right, there we go. I am about to hang on. Here it comes. Oh, it's not a squeaker.
No. That smells delectable.
Ooh, hang on, Sinead. This is we must talk about this. So that was a good whiff right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, very, very
I'm getting that vanilla caramel kind of,
and it's
a little sweetie, which I kind of like the sweeter end of bourbons.
You get the burnt oak, but it's kind of very subtle compared to the vanilla. Oh, that vanilla is just turning me on. Okay, all right, I'm pouring.
Smells just as good in the glass.
Okay. So, if you notice here, that is the type of day that I'm having. I know that the audience can't see how full that glass is.
It's a big ass glass. It has one round ice cube in it. That's it. All right.
Let's see here. Are you ready?
Cheers.
Straight into the sinus cavity.
Not with me.
Hang on.
It's a little bit lighter flavor than I was expecting. I'm not getting a ton of like charred oak. I get oak.
No. I get the oak.
It's very smooth.
It's definitely smooth. Do I get the burn? I get a little bit of a burn, but it's not like
Yeah.
It's not like a cheap
No. It just lets you know it's there.
Yeah. It's
only 80 proof. It's not. Yeah. Yeah. 80 proof.
Now you see that vanilla just blasts on your tongue.
Mm-hmm. I'm not picking up a ton of caramel or anything like that, but the vanilla is definitely there. Wow. This is almost wish I didn't have as much ice in there. I don't particularly like it that cold.
This is very intricate.
I think this is one of those that after the first one, you won't even notice you're drinking and then you'll fall over.
Yeah.
This is going to sneak up on you.
Okay, after the second or third sip, it's lingering in my mouth. I'm not upset with that.
Mm-mm.
I'm not disappointed in that. But it's... Okay, I lately have been measuring everything with the Willet. Because the Willet is the best to me. I've had Bardstown. I like Bardstown, but I think the Willet is the best for me.
I haven't had either of those. The Blade and Bow, I think so far, is probably the one I've liked the most that I've had. This is not that level.
No,
but. No. You see, this is kind of tough because I know what I spent on the bottle. I'm thinking this should be closer. But it's very good. I mean, it's very, very good.
This is a... Yeah, I would say that this is up there on that list. This is a good bourbon. It's good on its own. This is something that I could see myself mixing with, though.
You know what? We'll try that later. The weird thing is, this is getting smoother and smoother, which is kind of weird.
With each sip, it's really lightening out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm.
But you still get that. You still get that back of the like the roof of your mouth can taste it kind of thing. It's a very different bourbon, I think, than anything I've had before. Different is good.
Dude, I'm telling you, the more you drink it, the better. I mean, this is just, it's rolling off the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
I'll
tell you what I'm getting, like icing, like cake icing kind of vibe. The more I'm drinking it.
It's almost like vanilla cream icing.
Yeah.
I get strong.
It's not that sweet, obviously, but that's just kind of the vibe it gives off.
I get very...
This is a fun one to drink. I like this.
I'm thinking it's going to be a very short show.
We might have to tape a little tomorrow. Hard to say. Between the smooth bourbon and his shitty day, it could be rough tonight.
I almost agree with you with the fact that I almost don't want to dilute it.
Yeah, like I think I put too much ice in it. But...
I mean, I like it cold.
Yeah. I'm digging that. It's like changing changing its flavors, like I don't know, maybe the more diluted it gets
I think that's what I'm finding interesting about it is that the more that we go along, the more complex the flavor gets. I mean,
you're gonna pick out something different as you go along the evening, and so this would be a great, like, if you had some good friends over. this is a great, you know, sitting chilling.
Yeah.
Or yeah, you know, I mean,
you get, I don't get the fruity as much as I get like a nutty, a vanilla nut. That's what I'm tasting. Very, very, oh yeah. I'm kind of,
I think I'm going to like this more by the end of the night than I do from that first sip.
What's funny about this is that
this is a Jim Beam product. Oh, there you go. That's why you like it so much. it comes from the homeland.
It does.
It's part of your cultural heritage.
Now wait, isn't Jim Beam Kentucky?
You've drank enough, you become an honorary Kentuckian. I pretty much guarantee that.
I thought you said that my family was more West Virginia than anything else.
But you've kept the state of Kentucky and the black.
I always found it weird that my father called my mother cuz. We've still got hunting land in West Virginia. Come on.
Oh, really?
Back to the seriousness. My parents are not cousins, and
as far as you know,
aunt and uncle maybe, but
hey, is it what is it? Second or third cousins is okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, the more that I drink this, the happier I get. And the weird thing is that as my ice cube is melting, the bourbon is sitting on top of the water. It is not mixing. I don't think that that's a normal thing. That is very cool. Guys, we're going to talk about a couple of movies today. And by the end of it, we're just going to be sitting here going, it was shit.
That's the first one.
It was shit.
Well, do we need...
Now, hang on. You say it was the first one, but I don't think you're going to like my review of Batman.
Yeah, that's okay.
But I literally wrote out my review like I used to write reviews for theater shows, mainly because I didn't want to forget the stuff that really was bothering me about the film.
Philip, right. You changed, man.
All right. On that note,
I'm guessing we need to take a break.
We're going to we're gonna give the audience the final verdict on the bourbon at the end of the show.
Okay.
Because we're gonna drink it all night long and figure out exactly where we're at, and we could be bumbling drunk ass fools when we tell you that it's the most fabulous thing in the world, but that's what
bumbling drunk assholes, don't take our word for it.
Exactly. All right, guys. We're gonna take a quick break here. We're gonna let you go out with some YouTube. Well, the end of the YouTube. We'll be back in a second.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.
Exchange operation got botched. My guardian angel fell asleep on the watch. Now all I've got is a Barbie doll crotch. I got an angry itch. 6 inches forward, 5 inches back.
How's your booze going?
I just poured another one.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, that's really good. Holy cow.
I was actually surprised that Jeff didn't like it. He said he didn't like it. I don't know why. I'm actually enjoying this, especially after
our cat piss off.
You know, it's the cat.
Yeah, he's trying to steal these.
Oh, guess what, people? Teeth killers. We got some teeth killers going on here.
Some Jolly Ranchers going. You cannot have those. I don't care how much they look like toys. You furry little fox-eared asshole.
You gotta love it. Gotta love it. Now, what else do I have to tell? Oh, you know what I didn't tell you?
What
the hell was that? Holy fuck.
That was a big spider.
Fucking Nate.
That's a pretty bottle. Smoke Wagon.
Smoked Wagon. Uncut, unfiltered, straight bourbon whiskey with a 57.36% alcohol volume. Take a guess what this little beauty cost me.
It's probably $89.
$80. It is straight bourbon whiskey from Las Vegas, the Nevada H&C Distilling Company. Hmm. Whoever thought Las Vegas would make good, whoever thought Las Vegas would make anything.
Well, it's like I was surprised when I found like incredibly good vodka from Akron. I'm like, I could see Cleveland or a big city, but Akron? And it was fabulous.
There's a lot of good that's coming out of Akron now. There always was. Burkhart's was in Akron. And that was one of the best craft breweries in Ohio.
For a long time. There was a craft brewery that was out by, not the big air dock, but the actual place, like Wingfoot Lake area.
Yeah.
They actually housed the blimp. Man, they had the best blonde ale I've ever had in my life. And then they just kind of went out of business or faded away or whatever. It was like, I was so depressed because the bottles were beautiful. It was all like art deco looking. The beer was fantastic. I was like, oh, sad.
I went to a brewery halfway in between Brunswick and Strongsville.
Okay.
And it's right on Route 71. I can't remember the name of it, but it was absolutely phenomenal. When I was there in 2019, they had the best selection of beer, first off. But secondly, they had a blonde there that I was just like, holy fucking hell. If my wife wasn't here, I would be all over you.
So where was this at?
It's right north of Brunswick, on the border of Brunswick and Strongsville. I think it was like, it was in Strongsville, I do believe.
I'm looking up Strongsville right now, and Brew Kettle.
That's it. And that is, you can actually see it from I-71. So if you're ever going up to Cleveland and you decide to cut over to 71 to go up instead of 76, you know, stop by there. Best beer I think I've had at a craft brewery since Burkhart's. Burkhart's I loved because Burkhart's opened up a location in Medina.
So oh, okay.
Whenever I would go home to visit my mom, we would go get growlers filled. And their location in Medina was right at the reserve. There was a set of buildings. The reserve is a very ritzy, you know, million-dollar home area. And they had their own Western Reserve Bank there, and Burkhart's was in there as well. I love Burkhart's. Anyways, I see you have the Spies Like Us.
Official poster? Yes, yes, I do.
Official poster? Those are some dark nipples.
Yes, yes, they are.
Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't figured it out,
we're doing a review on Spies Like Us.
Now, I have told Burke that this was a fabulous movie about 50 times. So we must review it.
I even said, you know what? You don't have to give me any choices. You've talked about this film forever. I will watch it and we will review it. So let's get started.
So ladies and gentlemen, here it goes. Spies Like Us is a show about two gentlemen who are bumbling idiots at their job. They both work for the government. The government decided that they needed two patsies for a job, and these two guys decided to take the GS service test together. For those of you that don't know what GS stands for, that's government service. And what was it? It was a GLG-20? Okay, so they were calling it a GL. It's actually called a GS in real world. So they were going for their GLG job and got caught cheating. And they decided that they would be the patsies that would be sent into Russia.
As decoys.
Lo and behold, one of the real operatives got killed. And the two bumbling idiots had to actually help to finish the mission. I am not going to say what the mission is. You guys go watch the movie.
Or not. I mean, maybe not after our reviews. But
okay, maybe I will tell you because you're not going to watch this movie. So they were supposed to go and take command of a missile. Now,
a Russian ICBM.
They do not know what they are supposed to be doing. They enter the launch codes. They fire this. Because there's two wacko guys trying to see if their Star Wars system works. And anybody who was around in the 80s remembers Ronald Reagan talking about the Star Wars system and all that. So that is what this whole thing's about. It was about the end of the world, global thermal nuclear destruction, blah, blah, blah. Did it happen? Did it not happen? Who knows? We're not going to tell you. What we are going to tell you is,
couple little details about the movie.
Yeah, let's get into the detail. Now, there's some interesting details in this when it comes down to the money.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not sure if I got the money here, but it is 1985, yes. 1 hour, 42 minutes.
Yes.
Directed by John Landis, who I like his films a whole lot. Written by Dan Aykroyd, Dave Thomas, and Lowell Ganz. Mm-hmm. Music by Elmer Bernstein. Gotta love Elmer Bernstein. Care to guess the Rotten Tomatoes scores?
I'm gonna say 30.
Pretty darn close. 32% on Rotten Tomatoes. Audience was a little bit better. They were at 56%.
I'm not surprised.
Siskel and Ebert, care to guess on thumbs up and thumbs down from those two?
Okay, are they thumbs up, thumbs down? Or
it's thumbs up, thumb down back in the day. So,
okay. I will say thumbs down.
Siskel actually gave it a thumbs up, and the reason being is he was on vacation in Hawaii when he saw it and was in a very good mood. Okay. It was a light comedy for him. Roger hated everything about the movie except for those right there.
The tatas.
That's it. That's the only thing about the entire movie he liked. And when this movie came out,
some nice tatas too.
They were gorgeous. Yes. They were. So I got the top 50 movies that year. This kills me. Number 52 was Weird Science, which I thought would have done better than this film, but I was wrong.
I'm actually surprised by that, because that to me is really a great movie.
But apparently it didn't get a lot of traction back in the day. It probably did not have a lot of promotion back out then. And I can't remember. I don't think Ferris Bueller hadn't come out yet. So, you know, probably just slid under the radar.
Hold on here. This is 1985, correct?
Correct.
And where did you say that movie came in?
Weird Science came in at number 52.
I just might say The Falcon and the Snowman.
That I have that as 51. So we're looking.
Okay, hang on. Are you looking at in-year releases or?
Just worldwide box office, domestic box office, you know. So wow. These are all a little bit off. So
yeah. Anyways, yeah.
Young Sherlock Holmes beat out Weird Science. Porky's Revenge beat out Weird Science.
See, I have Weird Science at 35.
Really?
Yeah. 35.
How much money? I got like 16 million for Weird Science.
23,834,000.
Oh, okay. Oh.
It opened August 2nd. Is that correct? Yes, August 2nd, and grossed 23 million for the first year.
Let's see. Teen Wolf. Speed it out. Day of the Dead, Commando, Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. I have 24. Can you not hear me?
No, you disappeared for a second.
Well, I didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, I didn't
think. I didn't even touch a button, man. I was just like reading.
You're a jackass sometimes. I didn't touch shit. It's got to be your stuff. Let's see here. 230 megabytes per second. Ooh, but I am fluctuating today.
All right, cat. No. Oh, God. Oh, you didn't stand on the keyboard. All right.
Yes, I'm definitely fluctuating today. It's probably from the heat. All right.
What? Stop. The cat muted me.
Yeah, you were gone. he said bye-bye. He
said bye-bye now. So anyway, yeah, Teen Wolf beat it out. Mad Max beat it out. Sam Elmo's Fire, I have it at 23. Pee-wee's Big Adventure at 21. The Breakfast Club at 16. What are you doing? God, I'm going to kill the cat. I swear to God. Anyway.
All right. I'm not trying to dispute you here. My
we just
numbers,
got numbers from different sources.
Yeah, my numbers from Box Office Mojo for the year say that Back to the Future was number one.
Yes.
They grossed 190, 581. And
so
then,
they got domestic at 212 for Back to the Future and worldwide at 385.
And then total gross was 210.
Okay.
Beverly Hills Cop was second.
I got Rambo First Blood.
Rambo.
I don't even have Beverly Hills Cop on this list.
Rambo First Blood is third.
At Rocky is here, third. Here's
the thing. Beverly Hills Cop was released December 5th, and they grossed $157 million. And then total gross for the year was $234,760. So they released it December 5th, made $157 million that weekend. And then for the rest of the year, they grossed $234 million.
what else we got in there? The Color Purple, Cocoon.
I have
Jewel of the Nile.
At five. And here's the weird thing. Back to the Future, Beverly Hills Cop, Rambo, and Rocky were all in the 100 million. Cocoon was the next movie, and they dropped down to 76.
Yeah, I got 76, 257 for Cocoon. I don't even have Beverly Hills Cop on this list. That's really bizarre.
That is bizarre.
Yeah. But anyway, I got the Goonies at 11.
Where do you have Fletch?
15.
Fletch is ninth on this.
How much? 46 mil?
50,612,000.
Did it beat National Lampoon's European Vacation?
Yes.
Okay.
National Lampoon's European Vacation was 49 million. A View to a Kill came in between Fletch and National Lampoon.
I'm showing that at number five. Okay, so anyway, our stuff's all messed up, but needless to say, Spies Like Us looks like it beat out National Lampoon's Vacation and Fletch.
Spies Like Us, I have at 20.
What? I have it at 60 million on this list here.
Well, that's 60 million total.
No, that's domestic and worldwide.
That was total for that year. They opened out in 35 at 35 million.
Huh.
But
I'm gonna have to get better sources.
The thing is that movie came out December 6th. So to go from 35 million the first week to 60 million in just 2 weeks is,
So is mine like total box office sales perhaps then for those movies, regardless of the year?
It could be.
Okay.
Here.
And we're fighting over numbers, but anyway, this is the third Chevy Chase movie that came out that year.
All right, so here
box office calendar gross 1985.
So we have Back to the Future here with 190 gross, and then the total for the year was 210 million. Beverly Hills Cop 157 for a total of the year of 234. Rambo First Blood, Rocky, Cocoon, Witness, The Goonies. This was the year that Breakfast Club came out. So this was the year of some like great movies.
E.T.'s on there, Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah. And then we scroll down to here. We have Spies Like Us at 20.
Huh.
They opened at 35 million, but they grossed for the year 60 million domestic. Huh. It beat out Commando, which I find a little bit odd.
And St. Elmo's Fire.
St. Elmo's Fire, The Jewel of the Nile, which I thought was a fabulous movie.
But, I liked it.
But here's the thing. It opened December 13th. It grossed $29 million in the first. Now, if you look here, after the first, they grossed $75 million. So this right here is the total amount of money that it's made in its lifetime. Okay. This right here is what it made in that year.
So maybe mine are closer to like the totals those films did.
So yes, what yours is rating is the total amount of money that these movies made. Like, I bet you $5 if I come over here and hit total gross to line it up, it would have Beverly Hills Cop first, Ghostbusters, Back to the Future.
How am I not getting Ghostbusters on this list?
Where the hell is Spies Like Us actually ends up coming in what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Like, I'm throwing my list out the door because...
Okay, this puts Spies Like Us at 13th. When I rank it by total gross, not what it grossed that year.
So what are you using, Box Office Mojo?
Yes.
I must have done by the numbers. That's really weird. Top grossing movie.
Yeah, that's 1985. That's why I do gross for the year. And this tells me what it was for that year. That's a true indicator of what it was for that year.
Back to the Future. Okay.
I've got a whole shitload of stuff to cut out of our show now.
Yeah. Alrighty then.
Anyway,
my numbers suck.
Anyways, it's neither here nor there. The movie was not in the top 10, first off. Either way.
No.
It's totally only grossed $60 million in its lifetime. Let's get into discussions of what did you think of the movie cinematically? I think you're muted, sir.
Ooh, sorry about that. sorry about that. I don't want to come off totally negative about this film, but I think I laughed once during the entire film. In a way, though, I am glad for the film because it was you could see the seeds of Ray Stantz coming out from Ghostbusters. It was like, he took the best parts of this film and used it in Ghostbusters. So it was kind of like the seed for his character in Ghostbusters. That and what we're looking at on my screen right now, the best part of the whole movie. Landis, okay. Aykroyd as an actor, I love his stuff. When he's got a good director, I love his stuff. As a writer, he's a skit writer. He's not a movie writer. Dave Thomas the same way. Dave Thomas from SCTV, you know, hung out with John Candy and all those guys. Also a very good skit writer. He was, you know, half of Bob and Doug McKenzie, for crying out loud. Not a great movie writer. They got this Lowell Ganz to come in and fix the script, and he probably did the best that he could, but there wasn't a lot there. It was... The movie started off to be one thing, and they wanted it to kind of be the Road to Marrakesh movies and stuff like that. And it ended up being Elvis and Costello at the end. And it never had a trajectory. It never had a, and then the ending was like, it felt like it was tacked on, like, oh crap, we've got all this movie and we haven't ended it. What do we do now? And yeah, it didn't hold a lot, you know, I mean, and then like Landis threw all these people, like Frank Oz was in the movie. Bernie Casey, James Doughton, Terry Gilliam, Donna Dixon, the wife of Dan Aykroyd, Joel Cohen of the Cohen brothers actually is in this. Sam Raimi is actually in this. B.B. King, you want a Pepsi? Actually, that was one of the few times I laughed at the whole thing. Fuck, that's B.B. King. Hope. And then Bob Hope as Bob Hope. Yeah. But, yeah. It was supposed to be, yeah, an homage to the legendary Road Pictures starring Bob Hope and Bing Crosby. And Aykroyd had been working on this script for a long time. He wanted John Belushi to be in it, but then he passed away. They rewrote the script for Richard Pryor, but studios didn't like it. Then he got Chevy Chase on board, and Chevy really, Cat, go away, please. Thank you. And he really did a lot to get the movie going, but it really felt like he phoned it in because this was his third movie that year, and he did Fletch. Fletch is my favorite all-time performance out of Chevy Chase. I think he's fucking brilliant in Fletch. I love that movie so much because the director's got to be constantly going, okay, slapstick sucks. Keep it straight. The lower key that you are, the funnier you are, and it's going to show. And I just love Fletch to death. Yeah, Bruce Davison and Steve Forrest from the SWAT series were in this movie, you know, and it took me a long time to figure out the girl in the picture. Yes. Right here.
Lieutenant Harrelson was I was a SWAT freak. And when I saw Lieutenant Harrelson in there, I was like, holy crap, this movie's going to be great.
All right, I must
say. Anyways,
I gotta ask a question.
Yeah.
What are your feelings on the SWAT movie with Colin Farrell?
Horrible.
See, I like it.
It was horrible.
I liked it a lot.
It did not live up to the SWAT that I grew up with.
I don't think they wanted it to be the SWAT you grew up with. They wanted it to be its own kind of entity.
But you see, that's why I didn't like it. If it would have been the SWAT that I grew up with, I would have been all over
it. Excuse me for one moment, please.
Do you have to kill a cat? Holy shit, I've never seen you bend over like that. Damn, I did not know cats could fly.
Well, when they're chewing on power cables, they need to go away.
You know, I have learned in my life that if they are chewing on a power cable, let it happen.
That's my computer power cable.
It is a very enjoyable moment when they finally break through.
It smells for a couple days, but other than that, it's great.
The fact that you can pick it up by the tail and it's stiff gives you something to hand to Sam. Here you go. Enjoy it.
God. Anyway.
All right, sir. So, everything that you've said, I kind of agree with. This movie back in the 80s, I enjoyed a lot.
I get that.
But in watching it again, I do not care about what the box office says. I don't care about any of that. It wasn't funny. And the thing is that Chevy Chase, this was his third movie that year. Fletch was incredibly good. I love Fletch. The other thing that I learned while watching this again is that Chevy Chase is a slapstick comedian. He doesn't make comedy by the lines. he makes comedy by his facial reactions, the way that he looks at stuff, by acting dumb.
That's never good.
That is the type of actor that he is.
But even on Saturday Night Live, when he toned it down and played it totally straight, it was the best. It was absolutely the best. When he was completely just oblivious and clueless and not trying to be funny, it was the best. But he was trying to be funny in this movie, and it just doesn't work.
We're talking about Spies Like Us. And in this movie, he was a slapstick comedian. He let Dan Aykroyd take the majority of the comedic lines.
Yeah, Dan Aykroyd was playing a straight man, and he was a little funnier in this movie, I think, than Chevy was.
You know what those things can do? Suck the paint off your house and give your family a permanent orange afro.
Now, part of that is probably because Dan Aykroyd wrote it. He was one of the writers on this project. But even when I went back and looked at National Lampoon's Vacation, Chevy Chase is a slapstick comedian. He is not a funny guy with words. He is a funny guy with the way that he acts or reacts.
If you get the right director and they keep him toned down ever so slightly, the comedy gets better.
When he gets all
googly eyed and shit, it's like, quit trying so hard, dude. You're a funny guy. Just, you don't have to try so damn hard.
National Lampoon's Vacation. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. When he plugs in the lights, what made that scene what it was?
You see, I don't entirely dig that movie either.
The thing that made that scene work was his physical reaction to what he just did. That makes him more of a slapstick comedian and it's not a bad thing. Charlie Chaplin was a slapstick comedian.
I mean, one of his greatest bits was playing Gerald Ford stumbling over stuff in the White House constantly.
And that's the type of actor he is. The problem that came with this movie is that you had somebody like Dan Aykroyd, who I think is one of the most brilliant comedians in the world, writing something for somebody that is more of a slapstick comedian. The delivery was not there with the lines.
Well, I mean, he was what, the third or fourth person written into that role. So yeah, I can kind of see that.
I have nothing against Chevy Chase, and I'm telling you, Fletch is one of the funniest flicks I've ever seen. But this movie,
it wasn't there.
He was the digression where Dan Aykroyd was pushing the comedy along.
Yeah,
and honestly, the comedy really wasn't there. And I'm sad to say that. I love this flick. I do. It's still a fun flick to go and see.
But I've seen it now, and I can check it off my checklist.
But it's not a movie that, after seeing it again, it's not a movie I'd go and watch again.
Yeah, it did not stand the test of time.
Did you think that the comedy was dated?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it was just, it just wasn't my cup. I'm sure there are a bunch of people that absolutely love this movie still. It just wasn't my cup of tea. It wasn't my kind of comedy. I don't know. It's just, it was okay. Like I said, I got laughed once, maybe twice in the whole movie. B.B. King made me laugh. you know, when your two stars don't. Yeah, I even when they did the Dick Fur line, I knew it was coming. You know, it was like
it is from that movie, guys.
Yeah. Sounds like a Dick Fur. What's a Dick Fur? That's what I pee with.
I mean, yeah, you knew it was coming, but you also knew that I don't know. How many movies do we see Chevy Chase trying to hook up with the hot chick? And I mean, he's not a good looking guy.
Yeah, neither is Rick Ocasek, but look what he pulled down.
Look behind you.
I know, right? Now, that was Dan Aykroyd's girl. No, yeah, that was Dan Aykroyd's girl, wasn't it?
Yeah, it actually was.
Because he wrote the movie. He no dummy.
Yeah,
you know what? It's like I'm looking at that girl and I'm like, boy, she does look familiar. And it's like, oh my God, she was on Weird Science, the TV show.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, she was the Weird Science TV show girl. Okay. I was like, oh, okay. And she also showed up on, a few episodes of Stargate.
Gentlemen, she was in Stargate for a while. Let's broaden our minds. Lawrence.
Just that Burke. Let's broaden our minds.
So I only found one piece of trivia about this whole thing.
Okay.
So they shot some of Spies Like Us in Norway on top of a mountain near Sognefjord, and they had built a replica of a Soviet SS-20 rocket on the back of a launcher parked right there on the mountain. Beautiful spot. They were shooting over a week. And one day they get a call from the representative of the United States Department of Defense because their satellites had spotted the rocket. And they called the Norwegian government. They thought a Soviet rocket had secretly moved into Norway. The producers had to clarify, this was a fake. We're doing a movie.
Oh, my God.
A major international diplomatic incident was averted. How great is that?
I had my microphone muted so that people wouldn't hear me laughing as hard as I just laughed. But that is freaking hilarious.
It took some digging to find that one. While I was like, holy shit, that's awesome.
That I found
that made me laugh longer and harder than the whole movie.
I found zero trivia for this. Zero. None. I think the only trivia stuff that I had listed had to do with the money that was made. And we kind of covered that just about, 40 minutes ago.
Fumbling. Like looking for that first bra strap. Good Lord, that was painful.
So I was... All right, we're going to take a break in about 6 minutes. So I don't want to get to the ranking until the next segment. But I will say I was really disappointed in this flick. And I don't want to knock Chevy Chase or Dan Aykroyd, because it was 1985. And honestly, look at it. Chevy Chase had done filmed two movies before this one, and they all filmed in succession.
Yeah, he was a busy dude.
I mean this movie came out in December, which meant that for probably 3 years they were filming nonstop. I can't put the blame on them. I can't put the blame on Dan Aykroyd, although I can, because he was one of the writers.
He was trying his best. I mean, like I say, if he is a contributor to a project, he is going to contribute some great stuff.
Now, 1985 was the middle of Ronald Reagan being president. Ronald Reagan had a huge push for a thing called Star Wars, which is what this is based off of.
Cold War, Soviet Union, blah, blah, blah. Yep.
whether or not we have Star Wars or not, that's kind of what they're making fun of. Because at this point in time, we still don't know if we have Star Wars.
Nah, who knows?
Good on you if you got it done, Ronald.
Yeah.
If not, Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd took care of it for you, because nobody's going to attempt it now. Now, there were definitely spots in this movie that I could sit back and say I liked. The picture right behind you.
Yeah. That is a bright point in an otherwise pointless movie. You're trying to put your ice cube on her nipples there?
I sure am. Gonna get fired. Fucking Mask did better than this. Get serious. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to take a break here. We will come back at you with our rankings, where the hell it's going to go. I have to build a page that,
yes, that yes, you
shows
do.
Our shelves, which I will take care of that tomorrow.
Okay.
I have tomorrow off.
As long as Nana doesn't need a ride somewhere. Jeez,
I'm going to fucking shoot you.
Oh, hell yeah. Do you know what this song is based on?
No, tell me.
It is based on a quartet version of a Rolling Stones song.
No way.
I swear to God. Look it up. It's the weirdest damn thing. It's like you listen to the quartet version. It sounds very much like this, but they based it on a Rolling Stones song.
I love this song.
I do too. I absolutely love this song. And then I figured out, oh, it's Rolling Stones. That's why.
Wow. I had no clue. I thought it was going to be based on, I thought it was based on a Beatles song.
You got all the strings tone. And everything. Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
Well, it's also got that 4/4 beat that you're sitting there going, okay, okay. I mean, it just reminds me of a Beatles song, but I could totally see what you're saying. Oh my gosh. All right, people. Burke and I are going to geek out here with some Bittersweet Symphony, and we'll be right back.
Bye.
Goes. Everybody knows the boat is sinking. Everybody knows that the captain lied. Everybody's got this broken feeling, like the mama or the dog just died. Everybody's hands are in their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rose. Everybody knows.
Everybody knows. Damn.
Everybody
knows. That's how it goes. Everybody. All right, that was a little bit of Concrete Blonde for you. But the news is that's our castle.
Nine spawns.
So, Brick and I just
compared our bottles.
Compared bottles, and Brick is about a quarter of an inch further down than I am.
Barely, but yeah, just I don't know. Maybe I poured this one a little heavier.
But I'm drinking beer at the same time, so.
All right, that counts. Yeah, but this is getting.
Is this not good? This is good.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if I had a couple of friends over that I liked, this is a bottle I would pull out because it doesn't. Okay, you remember that one, like double oaked bourbon that I drank?
Mm-hmm.
I could not concentrate on the drink and our conversation at the same time.
Yeah,
it was just so intense and nuanced, and there was so much going on. It's like I couldn't do it.
You kept saying that it was so complex. That like every time I would ask you a question, it was a different feeling or flavor.
Yeah, and
I was like, what the hell?
But I mean, it took like more of your concentration than like talk. But this is something that if you had a couple of good friends over, it's a good bourbon, and you can sit and you can drink and you can talk, and you'll take a sip and go, damn, that's nice. You know, is it the best one? No, but damn, this is nice. I like this.
Damn. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. If you can tell. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like I'm in your living room spanking you, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah, no.
A little harder, Daddy.
All right, so we're back. And we've been discussing a little movie called Spies Like Us. Came out in 1985, starring Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd. Directed by Landis.
Yeah, I know, right?
Who did...
Animal what House?
Yeah, he did Animal House. He did a whole
1941. And I'm pulling this off the top of my head. I can't remember exactly, but he actually directed the video of Thriller. American Werewolf? Did he do that one too?
I think he did. I don't have it.
Oh, crap. Now I got to look that up. Damn it.
I don't have it up. I mean, here's the thing. Landis and Aykroyd did a whole
Blues Brothers, yeah,
of stuff together, as well as with he was in that group with come on,
Saturday Night Live and SCTV,
John
and
Belushi,
yeah,
he was with that whole group.
He actually was an executive producer for Sliders. No shit. Okay. That's
was
cool.
He really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, he was an executive producer on Clue in 1985.
Was he?
Yeah. According to this.
Oh, wow. Now,
this is producer credits. Oh, I don't want a producer. I want director. All right. Let's go back to the beginning. 73, Schlock, Kentucky Fried Movie, Animal House, Blues Brothers, American Werewolf, Trading Places, Twilight Zone the Movie, Thriller, Three Amigos, another Chevy Chase movie. Coming to America.
I knew that he was with a whole bunch. of the Saturday Night Live group. Yeah.
Beverly Hills Cop 3, which I don't even remember what that one was about.
Well, it still had
Eddie Murphy.
It still had Eddie Murphy in it, and Eddie Murphy was part of that SNL crowd.
Yeah.
Which kind of leads me to believe that Landis may have directed or produced some stuff with SNL, because all those people worked together at some point in time there. But what we need to do at this point in time is give our final remarks and put it on the shelf. Shelf 1 through 5, or it's the box behind the counter.
Oh yeah, definitely the box behind the counter. Well, dude, please. It's a shelf one.
Before you say where it's going.
All right.
Give your final remarks on the movie. Then tell us where it goes.
It was predictable. I laughed out loud one time, and granted, I was sober. Maybe this is a better movie if you're like drinking or high. I don't know. It was okay, and I guess I'm glad I watched it once, and I will probably never watch it ever again. So
number one is the top shelf. Number five is the bottom shelf.
Number five, bottom shelf. Ooh, sorry.
That's rough.
Yeah. It wasn't my cup of tea. I don't have the memories of it that you do. Is that where you work? Is that what that little logo is right there?
Yeah.
We're not even gonna say what it looks like, because we don't want to. He's not supposed to have a podcast if he works at this particular establishment. Just so you know.
Yeah. According,
even though everyone there knows he has a podcast.
According to the paperwork that I signed when I signed on, I'm not allowed to have any social media account. Yeah,
that's a little rough, man. I mean, Jesus.
Yet everyone at work listens to my podcast to find out what booze to buy
or not to, or whatever. Yeah, that's so awesome.
Anyways, I'm gonna do this while Depeche Mode is playing, in honor of our keyboardist who is no longer here. I loved this movie. I loved this movie when it came out. I still love it now in a way, but it's not
as much.
It's not on my list.
Yeah.
Did
we grow up, or were we just really young when we saw it the first? Well, I never saw it in 85. You did. So it's not part of my childhood. You know what I mean?
You know what? After watching it, I mean, look at it, 1985, I was a sophomore in high school. Was I mature? No.
Are you mature now?
No.
Okay.
But this movie hasn't matured.
No, it has not aged well.
It hasn't matured at all. I can't put it, I mean, I'm sorry, it's going to go on shelf 5.
Yeah.
It's not a movie that is memorable, which is sad to me.
But it had potential, but just never achieved it.
But I can't say that it was great. I can't say that it was anything more than a slapstick comedy that I don't need to watch it again.
I mean, if it was on TV and there was nothing else on, I'd watch it while I was, maybe, I don't know. It's meh. Yeah. It's very meh.
It's very meh.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else we need to discuss on this show?
Not for that movie, no.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, on that note, we're going to get out of here. I hope you have a fabulous
week. Fantastic Ooh. Day, week, month, year.
Look at that. I'm actually getting a vamp in before 8 o'clock. Oh,
what the heck?
What the? Oh, wait, it's 8:22. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, shit. We can't do that yet.
Why not?
Because we have to tell the people what our final thoughts are on Basil Hayden.
Oh. All right. So I poured glass number 3.
You're on
hold
3.
On. Yeah. I mean, I haven't been pouring very heavy. I've just been, you know.
I'm on 2.
Okay.
With a new ice cube.
Okay. Let's both take another sip here.
I still get the vanilla. It is smooth as shit now.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
That is just a really relaxing drink. But there's a little bit of tart in the background. My ice is not melted 100% or anything like that. But I mean, it's flavors that make you think about it a little bit. No, this is a really, really enjoyable bourbon.
It's definitely something that you could sit there and sip on throughout the night. You and I were having this conversation earlier where I was explaining how the cocoa, the coconut water with vodka drink that you can get was something to go outside, sit on the back porch, and just sip it. And that's what this is.
Yeah.
This is a go out back with the fire going on and sip it.
Yeah.
Now, I would probably enjoy this a little bit more during the winter. But
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I guess in general, bourbons to me feel like a cold weather drink. But no, it's nice. It's really, really nice. I mean, I feel like this is what you bring out when you got some good friends over. And it's going to be a nice, smooth, relaxing drink. You talk. I like it a lot. I mean,
this is definitely a thumbs up. This is something.
Oh yeah.
We haven't figured out a rating system for our alcohol yet. All we've said is, would we
A's buy it again? A's and B's and C's and would we buy it again? And how do we feel about it? And
I would put this in the A category. It is something that I would buy again, probably A minus.
It's a solid A minus, possibly A.
Yeah.
I wish it was just a touch cheaper for what it is, but no, I'm thoroughly enjoying it. And if you enjoy bourbon, I would say try out the Basil Hayden Toast. It is a nice, interesting drink to try out. Absolutely.
Now I purchased the Toast as well as the regular Basil Hayden. Now the regular Basil Hayden was $32 a bottle. This was $46 where I am.
Yeah, this was like 47, I think, where I am.
And in the next episode, we will have a discussion about specs and the alcohol places here in Texas, because I've realized that I was getting screwed on a lot of shit. But I will tell you, I like this.
Have a rye also, if I'm not mistaken. So I saw that at my local grocery store.
Yes, the Basil Hayden has a rye as well. Remember that this is Jim Beam.
Jim Beam, yeah.
But this is their premium level stuff. I think I'm gonna stick with the A minus on this. Willett is still the A plus. And the more bourbons I drink, the more I realize I really, really like the Willett.
But just put Willett at A++.
I could do that.
Yeah.
Or we should build a shelf in
That would be the glass
box behind the counter, guys.
Yes, that's where the Willet goes.
That's where Willet goes.
So far with me, the blade and bow sits there, but it could get knocked off if I try the Willet. I don't know.
It's either way, the Basil Hayden is well worth the time and the money. If
you got to try it once. You absolutely have to try this at least once. Very enjoyable.
Yes,
very enjoyable.
I have had a very good time dealing with the different notes that it has,
and it changes as it melts, as it gets warm, as it gets cold. It changes, and it's very very enjoyable, and that's what it should be.
Bourbon should be. It should be something that's kind of enjoyable. Anyways, on that note, we're gonna carry our asses out of here. Y'all have a good week.
Great time, and we'll see you soon.
Months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This podcast is supported by Talkspace.
When my husband came home from his military deployment, readjusting was hard for all of us. Thankfully, I found Talkspace.
Talkspace provides professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatric providers online. Military members, veterans, and their dependents ages 13 and older can get fast access to providers, all from the privacy of their computers or smartphones.
I just answered a few questions online, and Talkspace matched me with a therapist. We meet when it's convenient for me, and I can message her anytime. It was so easy to set up, and they accept TRICARE. Therapy was going so well, my husband and I started seeing a couples therapist through Talkspace, too.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, including TRICARE. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com/military. Go to Talkspace.com/military to get started today. That's Talkspace.com/military.